grateful, Father, for this morning. Father, we're grateful, Lord God, for life and for breath, for your Spirit, Lord, that leads and guides us into all truth. Father, for the rest and the peace, Lord, that we have in you. And so right now, Lord, in Jesus' name, Father, we come before you as your children. We come before you, Father, as your sons and your daughters, Lord, and those that are called by your name. And Lord, right now, in Jesus' name, Father, we just receive the ministry of your Holy Spirit, Lord. We receive, Lord God, the strengthening that comes from you. Lord, we do bind every demonic attack and every force of the enemy, and we cast it out. And Father, we ask and pray, Lord God, at this time, for a free flow, Lord, of your Spirit in this place, Lord. I acknowledge openly that it's just your Spirit in me that's good, until your Spirit I yield. And Father, we pray, Lord God, for every heart that's heavy, Father, for every spirit, Lord God, that's down. Father, we pray, Lord, that you would refresh, restore, renew, Lord God. They that wait on you, Lord God, shall renew their strength. And so, Lord, we wait on you this morning, Father, each and every one of us, Lord, for the strengthening that comes from your Spirit. And Lord, as we go forward, Father, we go forward just in your name, Lord God, because it's in your name, Lord, that all things are and everything lives and moves and has its being. So, Lord, we trust you. Go on in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, Matthew chapter 17. Verse number 1 says, "And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them unto a high mountain apart. And he was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with them. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. And while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face, and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them, and said, Arise and be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man, save Jesus only. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, Tell the vision to no man, until the Son of Man be raised again from the dead. And his disciples asked him, saying, Why then say the scribes that Elias must first come? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Elias truly shall come first and restore all things. But I say unto you that Elias is come already, and they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they listed. Likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer of them. Then the disciples understood, and they that he spake unto them of John the Baptist. Okay.
උන්වහන්සේගේ වස්ත්‍රද ආලෝකයෙන් සිදු වූයේ බලව මෝසෙස්ය එලියාද උන්වහන්සේ සමග කතා කරමින් සිටිනවා ඔවුන්ට පෙනුනේය පේත්‍රස්ද උත්තර දෙමින් යේසුස් වහන්සේට කතා කොට ස්වාමීනි අපට මෙහි සිටීම යහපත ඔබ කැමති සේක්නම් ඔබට එකක්ද මෝසෙස්ට එකක්ද එලියාට එකක්ද බැගින් මෙහි මණ්ඩප තුනක් සාදන්නෙමි කීවේය ඔහු කතා කරද්දිම දීප්තිමත් බලාපටලයක් ඔවුන් මත්තෙහි පැතිර තිබුණේය බලව මේ මාගේ ප්‍රේමවන්ත පුත්‍රයාය මොහු කෙරෙහි ඉතා ප්‍රසන්නව සිටිනි මොහුට ඇහුම්කන් දෙවියයි බලාපටලයේ කඩක් විය ගෝලියෝ ඒ අසා මුහුණින් බැටි අතිශයෙන් බයපත් වූය යේසුස් වහන්සේ ඇවිත් ඔවුන්ට අතගසා නැගිටිල්ලා බය නොවෙලායයි කිසේක ඔහු ඇස් උසවා බලා යේසුස් වහන්සේ හැර වෙන කිසිවෙකු දුටු වූය ඔවුන් කන්දෙන් බසින කල යේසුස් වහන්සේ ඔවුන්ට අණ කරමින් මනුෂ්‍ය පුත්‍රය මළමුණේ නැගිටිනතුරු මේ දර්ශන කාටවත් නොකියල්ලායි කිසේක උන්වහන්සේගේ ගෝලියෝ කතා කොට එසේ වී නම් එලියා පළමුවෙන් එන්න ඕනෑයි කියන්නෝ කුමක් නිසා කියන්නෝදැයි උන්වහන්සේගෙන් ඇසුවෝය. උන්වහන්සේ උත්තර දෙමින් එලියා එන්නේමය, ඇවිත් සියල්ල නැවත පිහිටුවන්නේය. නමුත් නුඹලාට කියමි, එලියා ආවේය ඔහු නෑදින යමක් කරන්නට කැමැති වූවෝද ඒ දේට ඔහු කළෝය. එසේම මනුෂ්‍ය පුත්‍රයා ඔවුන්ගෙන් පීඩා විඳින්නේයි ඔවුන්ට කීසේක. උන්වහන්සේ යොහන් බෞතිස්ත ගැන සමුන්ත කතා කළ බව එකල ගෝලයෝ තේරුම් ගත්තෝය.
There's so much that's in this passage. There's so many things. But okay, Jesus before this had said that there would in verse 28 that there are some standing here which would not taste death until they saw the Son of Man coming in His kingdom. But that there would be some people that would also see the revelation of a greater revelation of who Christ was. And then we have an experience. These three disciples have an experience with God. Now isn't it interesting? He didn't take all 12 with him. Why didn't he take the 12? Why did he only take these three with him? Sometimes when I read through the scriptures, I find it really interesting the relationships that are formed there. Because we all have relationships in our lives. And there's some people that you know them from a distance. There's some people that maybe you go to the same store and you buy the same thing every week, and so you know that person. Oh, how are you? How's your family? But then there's other people that are close to you, that are close to your heart, that are very close. And Jesus, even while he was walking through this world, he had people like that with him. You had the mass of humanity that would follow him wherever he'd go, that were looking for a sign, looking for a wonder, looking for a miracle, looking for a leg to be fixed. Wanting food for the day. But that group quickly fell away depending on how rocky the road got. Then you have the 70 or the 72. I mean, some variants say 72, some say 70, but you have the 72 that he sent before him into villages and places. Then you have the 12. We know about the 12. The 12 apostles. Then you have within the 12, you have the 3, which is Peter, James, and John. And then within the 3, you have the 1, which is John. So much so that even at the Last Supper, when Jesus says, one of you is going to betray me, Peter nudges John and he says, John, ask him who it is. Because Peter knew that if there's one person that was close to the heart of Jesus in that situation that could get an answer from Jesus, not even Peter, but John could do that. Peter knew that John.
Yes.
And of all of the disciples, it's interesting that they don't even call John the disciple that loved Jesus, but the disciple that Jesus loved. Okay, help mercy. Again. So John was close to the heart of Jesus. And you see that actually in the crucifixion too. When everybody had run away, and even John had run away for a little piece of time, but when Jesus was on the cross, there's some women that were there and one guy. And so much so that Jesus says, when his mother is watching the whole thing taking place, behold, to John, behold, this is your mother and this is your son. Because he knew that here are two people that love him and that he loves so dearly, and he wanted to make sure that they understood a responsibility that he was giving them, one to each other, based from his heart. And now, you know what's interesting for me? It's not like God is saying, okay, you stay away. But these were the people that had the heart to stay with him. So even in the darkest hour at the crucifixion, John is still drawn to be there with him. So you have people that are closer to the heart. And likewise for all of us, as we walk through this life, you have people that are close to your heart and people that are further away from your heart. And that's why too, with somebody like Judas and what happened there, and even Peter's denial of Christ, how that would have hurt so much. Because these were people that were close to him. These were people that he had given power to, and taught them and shared whatever he had with them and blessed them in any way that he could. And then at the close of that, after three, not 1 week, 2 weeks, 1 month, 2 months, 5 months, three and a half years, that they would turn on him like that. Now if you walk with Christ, you will experience similar things. If you walk with Christ, you will experience the sting of rejection. And not rejection for having done something wrong, but rejection for having done everything right and being a child of light and still feeling that. But in that process, in that time, God is also working out something in you. See, realize that God is taking us through and leading us through a process of life. See, Jesus was led by the Spirit of God through the process of life. So first thing, he was led into the wilderness once he had received his baptism. So where he was tempted and tested for 40 days and all that happened there. And led and compelled in the ministry that he was doing while he was in the earth. So God led him through difficult circumstances, difficult situations, in all of those things, working out his plan of redemption, restoration, salvation for mankind. So likewise for us, we are led through, if you're walking with the Spirit of God and walking in the footsteps of Christ Jesus, you and I are led through difficult times, difficult circumstances, difficult situations, things that stretch us. And we embrace that. We don't run away from it. Jesus went to the cross. He embraced the cross. He didn't run away from it. But the world runs away from the light. It runs away from any sort of discomfort that you might experience. They don't want that. But God calls us into the path less traveled, but it is a rocky road and there is pain and struggle that comes with it. But in this journey, God also gives you people, gifts to you, to your life, and makes you a gift to others, people that will share this journey with you. And there are people that will be closer to you, that will understand even more, because they're close to your heart. And you must always be ready, just like with what happened with Peter, for the restoration that happened with Peter and Jesus. You must always be ready to forgive and to work with people where they are. Okay, back to chapter 17. So in this time, Peter, James, and John, they're up on the high mountain apart. And Jesus is transfigured before them. His face shine as the sun. His raiment was white as light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. Verse 3. I mean, for people that chase around after signs and wonders, this is pretty amazing. You think Jesus, if he was trying to build a worldly ministry, would have had 50,000 people there to see this. Wait, Jesus was trying to build a big ministry. Where you should have done this in front of 50,000 people. Yeah, if you had. Yeah. Oh. Think about it. If you get up in front of 50,000 people and now your face is. Whoosh. No. God is not concerned with quantity. God is not concerned with quantity. He wants quality. So many times when I read the scriptures, I see that God has an intention for quality and not quantity. Quality first. If the quantity is there, fine. But otherwise, He will always take quality over quantity. So, in this experience that these guys have, there's a revelation that they're given. And Moses and Elijah. I mean, what figures? What people to show up in the middle of this whole thing? Because we see that characteristic, that nature, even the spirit of Moses and Elijah coming back over and over again into the world. And when you see, even like go all the way to Revelation, when you see the two prophets and you see the types of signs that follow that ministry, they're the same things that happen with Moses and they're the same things that happen with Elijah. Chitrani is thinking. She's yeah, yeah. If you. So it talks about how that they have power to shut up the heavens for the rain to not come and all the different plagues to come, all of the different things. Those are all related back to things that Moses and Elijah did that were external manifestations of the ministry that they had. So these characters are active. Because there's a spirit that goes before even Christ Jesus into different situations and different places. And so even later on they have trouble reconciling it because they're thinking, okay, everybody says that Elijah is supposed to come first. But he says, look, Elijah did come. But they missed it. In verse 11 and verse 12, he says they missed it. They didn't get it. Okay. At this time, in the middle of this experience, Peter has a very human response. Yeah, very human response. Wow, amazing experience. Lord, we want to stay in this experience. So let's set up three shelters. 1, 2, 3. So one for you, shiny Jesus. Yeah, we want the shiny Jesus, the big light Jesus. This is doing. We want one for shiny Jesus, and then we want one for Moses. Let's keep him here. And one for Elijah. Let's keep everybody here. And we can keep the lights on and everything shining. This will be amazing. Will this just stay here? And it's a very human response to want to build a monument where God is doing a movement. And how many buildings have been built, how many things have happened where people have set up monuments where God was just passing through. Then See, if they would have just, let's take for example, say they built those things. They set up these tabernacles. They built them. But where did Jesus go very shortly after that? Jesus went down the mountain. And if they wanted to keep that tabernacle and those things going, He's not there anymore. He's moved on. If you want to walk with Christ through this life, you have to be very flexible and very willing to change anything and everything at any given time, because He's doing something and you just want to keep up with where He's going. And your feet should never go too deep into the soil of this earth. Your feet should never be rooted too deep in the ground. Because He's moving. But Jesus is moving. So those that were walking with Him were able to continue on. And there's a voice that comes in the midst of this whole thing, the very voice of God. Verse 5, while He spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him. I mean, what more do you need? You have bright, shiny Jesus, glowing with the face like the sun, and white, much whiter than this shirt. And Moses here, Elijah here. Voice from the cloud saying, This is My beloved Son. In whom I am well pleased. Hear Him. Listen to what He's got to say. Now, the very same Peter that wants to build a tabernacle, the very same Peter that sees all of this, is the very same Peter that runs away at Gethsemane and, standing in front of a servant girl, says, I don't know the man. To the point of calling down curses. Now, amazing, isn't it? You know, how many people think if they could just have this certain experience with God, that would make everything okay? In fact, people fly all over the world just to try to have an experience with God. So people hear about a revival going on here and they drive there. They hear about some place there. They fly there. Then sometimes, how many people run to Jerusalem thinking that that's the place that they'll get a special oompa from God?
America, Jerusalem,
So people are chasing after some experience with God. But the problem is that when the tough time comes, if the heart isn't set right, and if you don't have the power of the Spirit of God flowing through you, you will melt, you will fall away. Because there's no experience in the world that is enough for you to be able to stand in the hour of darkness and the day of trial if you don't have the power of the Spirit of God flowing through your life. Nothing. Because even Peter, before all of this stuff, he's in the, before Jesus is going to the garden, he's like, look, if we got to die with you, I'm going to die with you. He even had the chance and the time to think about it. But it's in the time of trial and the time of testing, he falls away. But what was necessary? Jesus told them in Acts 1, don't go anywhere. Stay in Jerusalem until you receive the gift that's been promised to the Father, the gift of the Holy Spirit. And after that you will receive power. Let's just go there quick. Acts chapter 1, keep your finger in Matthew 16 or 17. Acts chapter 1. And verse number 5 says, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth.
යොහාන් වහන්සේ බෞතිස්ම කළේ නමුත් නුඹලා මේ නොබෝ දවසක් ගිය පසු ශුද්ධාත්මෙන් බෞතිස්ම කළ ලබන්නේයි කීසේ. එහෙයින් ඔහු රැස් වූ විදස් ස්වාමීනි මේ කාලයේදී ඔබ ඉස්රායෙල්ට රාජ්‍ය නරක දීවා දෙන සේකයි උන්වහන්සේගේ රැස් වූය. උන්වහන්සේ ඔවුන්ට කියන පෙරසියාණන් වහන්සේ තමන්ගේ බලය යටතේ තබාගත් කාලයේද කාලයේ ප්‍රස්තාවද දැන ගැනීම නුඹලාට අයිති නැත. නමුත් සිද්ධාත්මයන් වහන්සේ උඹලා කෙරෙහි පැමිණ කල උඹලා බලය ලබන්න
වූයේ.
එවිට උඹලා යෙරුසලේමේද මුල් යුද්ධයේද සමාරයේද පොළවේ සීමාව දක්වාද මගේ සාක්ෂිකාරයෝ.
Now, isn't it interesting though, verse 6, they're trying to figure out the dates and the times as well. Is this the time you're going to restore Israel? Is this the time you're going to set up your kingdom? Is this the time you're going to do these things? So if we brought it forward to this day, is this the time that the Antichrist is going to come up? And is this the time that the 7 years tribulation is going to begin? And is this, that's the modern day, that's what they would say. And Jesus' response there is, he says unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you.
තමන්ගේ බලය ඇති සබඳ කාලයන්ද දස්තාවන්ද දැනගැනීම උඹලාට අයිති නැත.
And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and into the uttermost parts of the earth. Okay. But you shall be witnesses.
You're saved.
Okay. 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 In Luke 17:20 and 21, Jesus said that the kingdom is within. You don't have to flip there, but you can mark that down. So rather than getting caught up in all of the external things, Jesus' encouragement to them is, look, stay in Jerusalem and receive the gift that God has for you, which is something that will give you the power that you need. And that word witness is the same word where we get the word martyr from, martus, same word. So when he says that you shall be witnesses, it's the Greek word is the word martus, which is the same place you get the word martyr. Basically, God will give you the power to put to death in your life anything that keeps you from being the reflection of Him that He wants you to be. And now Peter is a living example of that power in effect after Acts chapter 1 verse 8. So when Peter, later on, when you see him standing up before the very people that crucified Christ and standing there and saying that this Jesus whom you rejected, God hath made both Lord and Christ. It wasn't based on his experience of the transfiguration. It wasn't based on him going to some special meeting. Somebody touching him on the head and saying, whatever. It was based on the gift of God that God put in him. And those that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Those that wait on the Lord for this gift will receive it in this day. And so all of us, we either you need to receive this, or once you've received it, you need to yield to it. Okay, back to Matthew 17. In the middle of the experience, the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces, were sore afraid, and Jesus came and touched them and said, "Arise and be not afraid." And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save only Jesus only. So, but when they look up, there's only Jesus. Because in the end, it really is only Him. And back to, not the shiny Jesus, big experience, but back to the one who was clothed in flesh and humanity, experiencing the same things that we experience here in this life. This Jesus that experienced everything that we go through and then some, this is the Jesus that they see standing before them. And as they come down from the mountain, in verse 9, Jesus charged them, saying, "Tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead."
Okay.
See, there's some things that God wants to share with you, but right now may not be the time for you to tell it to everybody else. You know, you need to do that with things that God reveals to you. When God shows you something, the next thing you do is not broadcast it to the world. When God shows you something, the next thing you do is, Lord, what do you want me to do with what you just showed me? Because He may reveal something to you about somebody else, but it's so that you begin to pray for that person, because God needs to work out something in that person's life. But you wait on the Lord for those things. Okay, verse 10. And His disciples asked Him, saying, why then say the scribes that Elias must first come? And go ahead. Now this will consistently be a challenge for you in walking through life with Christ. Because there's a way that people think that God should work, and then there's a way that God actually works. So people have something in their own mind of God should be doing this. So even then, all these people thought, okay, Elijah's going to show up this way. But because He didn't show up the way that they thought He would, and He didn't do any miracles, we talked about that one time. It says specifically in Scripture that John did no miracles, but one thing, everything he said about Jesus was true. So they're looking for an Elijah that did all of the signs and wonders, and they missed him because this one came without doing a bunch of signs and wonders, but in the same spirit of truth that they had no heart for. So they miss it. And constantly in life, if you are walking with Christ, you will have to reconcile between the way that people have told you that God should work and the way that He actually is working with you and through you as you're walking through life. And you and I need to yield to the way that God is actually working and leave aside all of the expectations of what you thought He should do and how He should do it. And so, you know, there's that acronym for the Bible, Bible, B-I-B-L-E, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. Basic instructions before leaving. Basically, God is working out in you what you need before you leave this life. God is working out in you what's necessary before you leave this life. Okay, verse 11. Jesus answered and said unto them, Elias truly shall first come and restore all things.
Okay.
But I say unto you that Elias is come already, and they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they listed. Likewise shall the Son of Man suffer of them. Okay. The spirit of Elijah, the ministry of Elijah is part of it, a big part of it is get back and get on track with the Father. So when you see Elijah up against the prophets of Baal and Asher and Baal in Kings, Elijah, when he's having the encounter with the prophets, the false prophets. Yeah. So he's, how long will you waver between two opinions? If Baal's God, serve him. If God is God, serve him. And when John the Baptist comes and he's in the desert and he's in the wilderness, his same thing is repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. So these are servants that have come, and the very same thing is, okay, decision time. Will you go the way of the Father, or will you go the way of the world? And see, when Christ Jesus comes, his ministry is, look, I am the way, the truth, and the life. John 14:6. So when people have made that decision, Jesus is like, okay, if you're going the way of the Father, let's go. And what Jesus does on that path for those that have made that decision, is this a path of restoration? It's a path of being restored into what God originally designed and intended for you to be. So even as Jesus went through a process of being restored unto the Father, through this life and all that he experienced here, we go through as well. And God is using the experiences and the challenges and the tests of this life to prepare you for what he intended you to always be. And he is in the process of restoring all things. And with that, my time is gone, so I have to stop. But new faces, hey. Boom. Spot got.